Today we are going to talk about Nagarjuna's teaching letter to the friend, and it's included in the practice of Mahayana Buddhism. So listeners to this teaching need to have the intention to practice Mahayana accordingly. So, what distinguishes Mahayana practice from other practices is the intention. When one has the intention to liberate all the sentient beings or do things to benefit all the sentient beings, practicing Dharma or listening to the teachings, it's not the teaching itself but the intention of the practice of listening to the teaching or giving teachings that counts for the Mahayana practice. So this teaching of Nagarjuna, the author Nagarjuna himself has been foretold by Buddha himself that he is going to uphold Buddha's teachings in the future. So this advice or teachings to his friend, the letter to the king, mainly aimed the king to accomplish two accomplishments. Accomplishment in this life and accomplishment for others or in next life as well. So the brief introduction of this teaching is the teaching as a Buddha's teaching. The author of this teaching has been prophesied Buddha that great master going to uphold his teachings in the future. So the source these teachings directly relate to Buddha himself. If you don't understand anything or if anything is not clear enough, and you may interrupt the translation or you can ask questions to Geshe-la directly. I'm not perfect, I may be wrong, so you can tell me if I'm wrong. So we are going to continue where we stopped last time. So, the last session we talked about what is required to be a Buddhist practitioner. There are ten things to be abandoned, which are non-virtues, and ten actions to be adopted, they are virtues. So that's the definition, defines one to be a Buddhist. So there are three doors to accumulate it. Either negative accumulation or positive accumulation. Those are the physical ones and mental ones and verbal ones. So, physical negative actions and its consequences or imprints of that has to be erased or eradicated by the opposite counteracting actions. So, if there are non-verbal negative karma of verbal actions, and it has to be purified by positive counteracting actions.
Gyawa tindri sa rani chibu vipa nipa raja me Gyawa chee ke ro dhavu te suna su suru te go Sine ro te ne shani kenchu sana Ro te vingo ne ngayar ne Tawik kanzo jite tuyu se ge te Tenda sanje chu gindi la ne shasa lo ye te tengi tengi ra res
So one is not efficient enough to purify such a strong negative imprints or negative karmas. So one requires assistance from blessings of three jewels. So that's why it tells us to take refuge in Buddha Dharma Sangha or venerate them. So today the teaching focuses on renunciation of these worldly possessions or worldly life and practice generosity to achieve a higher status in spiritual path. So the root instruction says recognizing the world to be ephemeral and insubstantial, exert yourself properly in liberal acts towards bhikshus, brahmins, and poor friends. For the future, there's no better friend than liberality.
That 네, 템보 메바 마제 티 카제기 티 노시라고 치는 리 노시라 넘버 메바 힘보 메바 뭐 진짜 이게
So it tells us the possessions we dwell on, such as clothing and shelters, or the things that we enjoy in this life, it tells that they are insubstantial because they don't give us a lasting satisfactions.
That in the case of Longshi, that the son of Nimbo Mevan Tongni, that Haraji was in Rangi, Rong Wami, that Sangzi, Li Dan Longshi, and Ningasi, Rongi Li, Rangi Longshi, Lasso, but dead, dead up, and they are Jimba Tansam, that Suraji was in Yetenji, not Gelonga, Tongzi Lasso, but dead up, and Yetenji seen a fear of Jigje.
So by understanding the nature of the possessions that we have, the ephemeral and insubstantial, by knowing the nature of those things, then we develop the renunciation towards those material possessions, and then we develop the intention to practice generosity of them. And the first object of generosity is they are the higher beings, like bhikkhus, the monks, and Brahmins. The second object of generosity, that the poor ones, sick ones, and those who are less fortunate than us, so we give them generously. So third object of generosity, those who are close to us, like parents, friends, and once teachers who benefit us directly, so venerating them through generosity is a practice of the good acts here. So what is more beneficial when we do practice of generosity is one has to be enthusiastic about the action of generosity. So if one gives with unwillingness, and then the consequences of the action in positive is not that great. So the practice of generosity with respect, with compassion, without motherliness, and they're the ones the cause of liberation for everlasting liberation.
So
In other terms of practicing generosity, there are three generosities relating to Dharma practices. One is giving, giving teaching to others. One is assisting practitioners with material material assistance. Something. And then being kind to others, those who are in need. So in terms of practice in giving Dharma, you know, when one is learning Dharma or imparting their understanding with others, generating wisdom of what is good and what is not in other beings, they are the eggs of generosity in Dharma. The second one, the material possessions, there are two types of practices. One is giving one's own body, and the other one is the possession of the person. So the previously we talked about you know, giving material possessions, they're the practice of giving material assistance. Practice of giving one's own body means if somebody is blind, then you're willing to sacrifice your own eyes. If you see a person without arms, you're ready to sacrifice your arms to benefit that person. That's the practice of generosity in giving body. So, so great Indian master Ayadeva, while he was traveling, he encountered with a blind, and the blind person begged him for his eyes, and he sacrificed his eyes, which benefited that blind person. So there's a tale, there's a story about that. So when Buddha was on the path to you know, towards becoming a complete enlightened beings, and there's a place, holy place in Nepal, where he sacrificed his own body to a tigress with cubs. So that such a generosity of giving is related to practicing on the path towards enlightenment. So that holy place is well known to the Buddhist people because of that practice of generosity that Buddha performed.
jabu chumi ke de ta pege ka dire me be yu ka ma de ma che de ne la de le ne jimba tan de ka rang gi ka se ma mi de ma rang gi chuma rang gi li lu ma she chuma ta bu gu de che ba sang ma jimba ta de no
so the there was a bodhisattva called Jimmy Kunden, and through his practices he renounced everything that he possessed, including his own children and all his possessions, given away to practice generosity. So those two are briefly practice of material possessions and giving away one's own body. The last one is generosity in kindness. So, with the intention to alleviate the sufferings of those who are overwhelmed by suffering, that is an act of generosity in kindness. The kindness refers to here is wishing to gain happiness for oneself or to others. It is called kindness. So definition of compassion here is to liberate others from sufferings. That is called compassion. And one is wishing to have happiness for others, or the other one is not to have suffering for others. So they are slightly different in definition. So the kindness and the compassion, they are kind of two sides of one coin in our mental practices of Dharma. One wishes not to have suffering for others, and the other one wishes to have happiness for others. So what is your definition of kindness? Could you please tell me?
Love.
Is there any difference between kindness and compassion? Or love and compassion? Love?
What kind of love are we talking about?
Say what curriculum So there are many different types of love. Here, in terms of Dharma practice, in love is to wish to alleviate suffering of others, so take their sufferings off. Sometimes there's a slightly confusion between loving somebody with attachment and practice of loving kindness. So the normal definition of love here is quite different what I'm talking about, the love in practices.
nishye deyewe tewa te duma senche duma chande shirwes. Tade kanda kundzo gawu seye de decho kune ranjila deva tonde shirwes shirwes.
So the difference lies in intentions. Here, in the practice of love, in terms of Dharma practice, when we say we love all the beings, means want to alleviate suffering of their suffering of other beings. But in normal terms, when we say we love you, that is contaminated by attachment or wishing to gain something in return, giving love to that person. Is that right? So also there are four aspects of practicing generosity, and that's giving protection. That in addition, giving protection is one of them. So, practice of giving protection in generosity is, for example, if somebody is near to death, or about to be eaten by other beings. So when you give protection to that being, and then there's a practice of protection in generosity. So also there are two categories in practice in generosity: the worldly ones, and the practice beyond worldly practice. So, in terms of practicing in generosity, one practices generosity to gain something from oneself. It's a worldly practice of generosity. So practice of generosity associated with the intention to become enlightened, fully enlightened, to benefit all the sentient beings. That is a practice beyond worldly practice. The effect or the imprints of that such practice carries on until one becomes enlightenment. So it's a very powerful the practice which is associated with enthusiastic, altruistic view of bodhicitta.
Setti le non c'è, non c'è, 다 지된 내바스네 산지지 공부 맞어 버지. 디 진비 롱시에 장기 산지지 공부 맞어 버지 롱시 냐스냐. 이는 같이 좀 봐야 땅 버이나. 디 진비는 제부터 산지 맞어 버지 냐스 에 가슴 제부 롱시에 지어. 근데 처음이야.
So the here the emphasis is on the intention of giving. When one practices generosity to gain something from oneself, that's a worldly act of generosity. But the other one, to benefit all the sentient beings, all the other beings, which is in greater in intention. So that intention defines the exalted practice of generosity, which lasts until one becomes enlightened.
Then another be cousin. Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe, Paddy, Toyna Dela.
So when one makes offering to like higher beings, it is a practice of generosity, and also one gives material assistance to those who are less fortunate than us, this practice is equally practice of generosity to the previous one. So do you think making offerings to higher beings or offerings to higher beings in one's own belief, do you think it's a practice of generosity?
I imagine it's the same equal. Do we think it's the same equality?
The karse nyanol jimat nama the tini chibar isen chibar yungore se chwat tanga oras.
Chibar is.
No, do you think it's a practice of generosity, making offerings to higher beings?
I don't have any difference with an altruistic motivation for your own development, otherwise it's not.
Sorry?
I reckon that making offerings to the three jewels is only generous. If it's with a good
motivation. So without altruistic intention, would it be practice of generosity? So, can we perform an act of generosity towards the higher beings such as three jewels? Three jewels, they don't come to us to beg for something.
I think if you pray to any higher being with the object of getting something back, like asking for material stuff, or you want something back, and the expectancy of getting something back, that's not generous.
고초래 초바 푸시네 소소를 찍가서 소소 라운지 리룸 주테네 토그레 테나 데 제바 로오지 마레스 Why?
Why? Well, because any time you ask for something back, it's not a generous act. You're asking something for yourself. If you're praying,
소소를 찍 특별히 치드 아니 데 고노요와 성사 때 normalis. So when we perform act of generosity with the intention to gain like a liberation or enlightenment, wouldn't it be practice of generosity in your view?
No.
Maris, don't Maris.
Generate, where you're making, you're producing something. You make a start and producing a giving of yourself or a giving of your intentions.
Jambas la morang kaya chida chikte ya chida kohoris. Jalati nari sosu tegi inti nari tindi chida kohoris.
Tindi chida kohoris. Yine nado kinchu la cheba piyasi de.
So when we make offerings, are we giving something away or not?
Yes, but
yes,
when you go to the shop and you give money, don't you? Is that generous?
That's some kind of challenge. What do you call
it?
That's not an act of generosity, giving money in the shop.
When we give water bottles, that is offering food and music and water to everything. We're visualizing assisting the whole world without any expectancy back on ourselves. Surely that's generosity.
So Martha Karse Chik control chuk chopana any karse Karla Medoda atani So when we do visualization of offerings, do we have any intentions or the reasons behind that action?
I think we have, because I think we are actually asking for enlightenment in return. And if we achieve enlightenment, then we can help in many more ways than we can.
What do you think about that Elon's comment?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, what is So one So here So when we say offerings to higher beings, it's a bit slightly uncomfortable term to call it as a practice of generosity, but it is a generosity. And and when we practice generosity, we have to have intention, we have to have a goal to achieve through that practice, otherwise it would be purposeless.
Mm.
The object of generosity of such as three jewels, they are called filled of merit. When we make offerings to them, then we gain accumulations of good karma for us. Indian master called Asanga, he mentioned the benefit of practicing generosity, and he said giving things to beings, even though they are not higher beings, those beings who are friends, family, such as one's own parents, the consequences in good karma, they're immeasurable, they're enormous, and it's immeasurable.
Oh yeah, that even in Zimbabwe, God, they study the mind of the whole English.
So the act of the practice of generosity will come again later on in this text.
That in the good on it, that
The second one is about practice of morality, why we should practice this. So the root text reads, you should practice morality unbroken, not debased, undefiled, untainted, uncorrupted. Morality is declared the foundation for all virtue, just as earth is for the things moving and unmoving. So we have to have a field to grow good qualities in us. That field is the morality. So to achieve personal liberation or achieve enlightenment, one has to have a good seed to grow towards that, and that seed is also the morality as well. To attain enlightenment, full enlightenment, one has to practice three higher trainings: morality, wisdom, concentration and wisdom. So there is a meaning for their order as well.
Ta madhupena sajde sade ani kaza madhu gubi ani gyega ani tsuji meto lazo de longje thama shese de ne cha longje ani sato de ya madhu le gyega ani yeten thanchi shebe ne
so the earth or the gardens, the base for beautiful flowers or crops, we grow grains, all the essential needs that we grow in earth. So the earth, that very earth is analogy for the practice of morality, and all the good qualities can grow out of morality in within oneself. So how we practice morality, what is what morality is? So the morality restraining from three, 10 non-virtuous actions. So the morality restraining from non-virtuous actions has to be unbroken, has to be pure and not corrupted, not stained by corruptions. The cause of breaking, the cause of morality is destructive emotions. So the morality contaminated by destructive emotions bound to be broken. So to observe morality here, one has to be honest with oneself. If one commit transgressions, then make it clear, and there's a way to confess or purify that. The defect of the mind is not the essential, it's not the innate nature of the mind. So it can be eliminated from the mind stream. So the unbroken vows, broken code of morality can be separated or can be eliminated from one's mind stream as well, because they are not innate nature of the mind. So the primordial nature of our mind is luminous, is radiating, and is not associated permanently with destructive influences. So innate nature of the mind is ever radiating, and it is not stained permanently. So because of that, we can eliminate the stains from that very own mind stream. So if the nature of the mind, if it is luminous and it's so clear and it's radiating, and then why don't we realize that? And that is a good question. But the reason behind that, because it is obscured by negative influence of the emotions. So that treasure, clear nature of the mind, ultimate nature of the mind is hidden by root causes of the afflictive emotions such as anger, attachment, and ignorance, and those minor ones, countless minor ones associated or stemmed from those three roots. So they have been clouded by those three.
That indeed, the charge in Yembo Mduba Gamba Sula Tembe Mandevas.
So that to clear away that that cover or the cloud of a mind, and we have to practice the counteracting or antidotes towards those negative emotions. How to overcome desire for like physical attractions, then we have to see the side of the ugliness in nature of that thing, and then we have to be familiarized, the mind has to be familiarized, acquainted with that practice, and then gradually we overcome the desire, strong desire towards like attractive things. So the desire, quite often desire has been intensified through supporting the appearance of the objects to one's own mind. Why this one is so beautiful to my mind, and then one intensifies the reasons behind that, makes the desire stronger. So then we have to see the counteractions to reduce that negative influence. So there's an analogy for that. You know, when we see a flash car, and we kind of naturally get attracted towards that the material thing, but one who knows that car inside out, the defects that the cars carry with, and then the difference between one who has strong attachment towards that car and one who doesn't have strong attachment towards that car because he found out all the defects with that car, and one who has intense attachment to that car or getting attached strongly to that car because he hasn't found any defects in that car.
Mm-hmm. kasa kolo tsopo de gang de kushi yasa kono rogi mane de che yashi yasa ma 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 gudu ma.
So when we see the negative side of the attachment or desire, then it reduces the intensity of the attachment. So the counter, the antidote towards strong desire, attachment, respectiness, practice in simply called ugliness, seeing ugliness in things, means finding out the defects of that that very nature in, of the thing. So this practice of morality here refers to the practice of Mahayana practice, and it says untainted, because it shouldn't be contaminated by desires to gain self-liberations or liberation for only oneself, or gaining something for one's own benefit. So this practice has to be associated with altruistic view to bring enlightenment to all the beings. So that's why it says untainted. It has to be untainted. So when we take a pledge not to steal, and that's the code of ethics in morality. So to reduce the desire to gain things or to steal from others is that one has to practice renunciation, has to renounce the thing by seeing the defects in their nature. So then one wouldn't be too attracted to that object, and that's reduced the risk of being stolen by oneself. Restraining oneself from stealing eggs of stealing, if it's motivated for the benefit of only oneself, and then the karma of that action is limited. But whereas one has an intention, take the pledge not to steal things in order to become enlightened, fully enlightened, to benefit all the sentient beings, and that's the effect, or the karmic effect, or the influence of that karma, as carries on all the way to enlightenment. So the intention behind the actions that counts, whether it's greater or less. So because the practice of a morality eliminates all the defects of in morality, so it is the base for all the good qualities. So in the sutra it mentions there's a particular vase that holds all the treasures. So it has a specific name, but I can't remember at the moment. But that vase holds one stores all the precious gems in that vase. So that vase is the perfect analogy for practice of morality, because all the good qualities are stored in the practice of morality. That's not the vase that contains frogs or fish or anything like that. So it's not only the primary cause to become enlightenment, practice of morality, and also it is the primary cause of happiness in this life and throughout the life, and happiness throughout the journey towards the enlightenment. It's the primary cause of happiness. So, self-restraining from the 10 non-virtuous actions are prescribed for all the Buddhists, and also it is the definition of being as a simple Buddhist, whether one engage in the practice of 10 virtues, which is restraining from the opponents of that actions. So the practice of Sokyu Pompi Tsewa.
Sokyu Pompi Tsewa Pompa. Tsewa Sekur.
In the practice of 10 virtues, 10 virtues, the restraining from killing refers to non-violence here.
Tsewa Se De Tape Hajangi Tsewa Pompa Se De Tsewa De Hajangi Tsewa Pompa Se De Lila Tsewa Longshila Tsewa Se.
The violent action is a big concept, and to summarize the violent actions in two categories, one that harming the lives and the possessions, or the possessions. When one endangers lives, and that is the violence of harming life.
Tang longxie se di mi su cui de karig cu bol se ni mi su de ani ta ka se ke nama tinji cu bol se se mi de le cu ya ke se ke neva nama neva si ina ani longxie le neva tinji la bol.
Harming the possessions, here it means the basic necessities. Life is being nurtured by basic necessities such as food, shelter, clothes, and when one harms that very possessions, it is also a violent action of in two categories. So practice of non-violence is the most important practice in Buddhism, and practice of non-violence has to be associated with understanding of dependent arising enables one to understand why we perform act of violence towards others. So to practice perfect non-violence, one has to understand a dependent arising. So to be a simple basic Buddhist has to understand non-violent means and also the dependent arising, the concept of dependent arising in large. So, in the Buddhist practice, when one is a Buddhist, that has to be defined by one's action and the view of the world. So it's called actions and views, simply. So to become Buddhist, there are two ways to become Buddhist. One is through actions and one is through view. So through action means practicing non-violence towards others. And through view means understanding the dependent arising interconnectedness of the things in existence. So through those two, one can become Buddhist practitioner. What is dependent arising? Could you please tell me if anyone understands the concept of dependent arising?
think, start with ignorance, compositional activity, consciousness, and it continues on.
Any other comments?
Nothing
has an independent separate self. Sorry?
Nothing has an independent
self
separate self.
And then, Karsay,
Matuva, the drop there, check
your
marriage, still
anything that arises is dependent on causes.
Mm. What was the Chuma Sama and the Tenjong Tenjong
Tenjong
Tenjong Tenjong
Tenjong Tenjong
Tenjong
on
other courses. Mm. Demba choba yomaris, and it could take top go a sauna, Wubu change janitage in top go a sonsa, and it tell a danger on a body, the sonsa, and it demba yomaris.
Thank you.
Any more, please?
Chili chi yard, eh, should I open it?
It's very good comments. The comments are very competitive and they're equally good. So, the dependent arising, the causes and conditions that Kieran told us, it mainly tells us about the beings, how they are born in the samsaric or cyclic existence, but it doesn't encompass all the other phenomena other than living beings. So in the sutras, Buddha simply said, it's just, simply said, Dalatin, the Chongji. This stemmed from that cause, he said simply, simple translation. This cause stemmed from that cause, and all the possibilities of existence came into being. So this one stems from this cause, and this refers to the ignorance, the root cause of cyclic existence here.
Ta nyemo bigi ani karis le karis wagi na pena le to chesu na te bigi ani le seno ji le da ta tindi seno mai bi le magi bi le sum sai le seno ji le so bai na
So there Buddha basically said this one originated from there, that explanation deals with the dependent arising. So which tells us the negative emotions are the cause of the sufferings, and consequently one accumulates different karmas which decide the next birth in the corresponding places according to the three different types of karmas.
だくじからね、まじらまってびにどうしやめやせいで、じんじゃけてにせいのこれ。でせいで、にぼるまとび、にぼまいんびげ、てんじゅん、てそらやんちゃうやまれ。にぼるんだか、じゅらてんじゅうてんじゅんごくれて、にぼまいんばじゅらてんじゅうじゅうまるわ。でさ、てんじゅうれて、やん、じゅらてんじゅうじゅう、てのちゃうん。
So the phenomena that is existing through causes of causes and conditions which are born. So the in terms of a dependent arising. The phenomena that is depends on the causes and conditions, and also the phenomena that is not came into being through earthly causes and conditions or compositional causes and conditions. So the in terms of dependent arising, there are two types of dependent arising. The dependent arising which originated from compositional factors, and the other phenomena which is not depends on the compositional or the causes of products. So the last one, which doesn't depend on the compositional factors, do you think that phenomena is also dependent arising or not? Is that clear, or is it quite hard?
No,
it? Dependent arising, there are two types of dependent arising. Dependent arisings, which are special. Dependent arisings, this depends on the causes and conditions. They are subjected to impermanence. And the other phenomena, which is not subjected to impermanence, they are permanent factors in existence, such as space. And is it clear?
Yes, dependent arising. This earth was dependent arisen because of previous things that have happened to form this world, like our thoughts have helped to create this world. And so therefore it's dependent on what was going on before. It's what we are existing in now.
No, he is talking about two types of dependent arisings. The dependent arising that is subjected to like earthly causes and conditions, like you know, which are subject to changes, and then the other one is not subject to changes. It's permanent, such as space and sky. So the last one, the like the permanent one, like space and sky, such as space and sky, are they dependent arising? This is his question, to make it simple.
Yeah.
Is it clear? So dependent ta chashil ten chuma se ta na ni shi so tin na kar tre
ta dilir ma te ipo ma yimi
so the dependent arising in existence which is not subjected to the causes and conditions, they are subjected to the paths and directions. Paths and directions. So emptiness itself is also the ultimate truth of emptiness itself is dependent arising. And how do you define that as a dependent arising?
Which of the two?
Sorry?
Are you asking which of the two?
No, the emptiness itself is dependent arising or dependent origination. So why the emptiness is dependent origination, he says. Without object?
Without object.
Yeah.
What is the nature of emptiness? There is no emptiness. When we talk about emptiness, because there are objects, we can talk about no object.
I think you misunderstood. Why emptiness is dependent arising? That's his question. What did he say? Sorry, the object is.
So without object you're referring to,
there's no problem with that. Tony said that the Jen the Dilla the Yuda, you the Dilla the Dilla the lake of two existence. So lake of two existence is it dependent arising?
Mm.
permitted.
There
are many different types of dependent arisings. The certain level of the dependent arising deals with the concept of emptiness. When one understands the nature of the existence in emptiness, things are merely labeled by concept with the lack of self-existence from its own side, and then that explains about the subtle level of the dependent arising. That's hard for me to translate.
Then that nothing Michila Mikorani, Migamiga, Niji, Michila, Mittaza Michin, but it's called the Shu Gamiji Michin, called Jack and Haju Mitchell, we read something, Mini called Tavina. That's in Mitte, Migami, Digi, me Yapoji, the Zumbuji, Tongi, Tongrova. Mugaki, Digi, Mittila, Time didn't think, which some of the name is doing on the Yachin Tonga, Kogimushan, a cartoon could do it, Tongi. ती पिगी मिते मन चिंता नहीं दे रची कहाँ के थोड़ी मंडा वाले नंबर नहीं दे रहे तेरे लिए सं तेरे यहाँ मरे यहाँ मरे तो पिगी थोड़ी मिनी दे नंबर मंडा वाले नहीं थोड़ी दूर आज ती कह रही चीज़ मरे
सो when we look at a person that we love or admire you know that person appears pleasant attractive to us pleasant and very nice. Whatever he or she says, it is understandable, reasonable, you know, it's like a music to one's own to hear. But when you listen to somebody that you dislike, and whatever he or she says, it is annoying, it's unpleasant, and that very person appears dirty, aggressive, you know, it's unpleasant to us. Why do we have such a different appearance in those cases? So the same girl. Suva Hingiris.
The concepts that they're conceptions, but they're only derived from your mental emotions or the afflictions that you had. So they're purely just conceptions that you've got of what you perceive to be real from your own conditioning, and they're just from the mental afflictions that you have.
Tiri karsan sosyo tonang da, talang da, tonang dosa sama, ane sempi nyomog jun jewar isi kirin. Ane tini song da, ane pa yu pa jo muni so drop dewa ma yinba, sosyo pa ta jawa chil tingi war isi. Lok tini nyomog jun.
Ine ya manzu pa tonang da, mi jibu te la, zibi cha, manzibi cha ni, tonang yor was, ku mewa ma was.
But one has, you know, when we objectify a person as a good or bad, that very person possesses good sides and also negative sides as well.
That's just what you're projecting. It's not. It's not from their side actually. It's what you're projecting on them.
Pajo gumula ani karsan tini top deva yomaris. So to move the path out of this, the projecting to this. So do you think that you know, a person is completely neutral, doesn't possess any negative or positive side?
Mm-hmm. A person is just a concept of something that's not real. I mean, it's an illusion. So it's an object that you've gone and given a name to. That you perceive to be real by, and then you put all these schemas on them, you know, you've given them personalities, and but that's the trap of cyclic existence. That's what the mental affliction has caused.
Pajok kansa thel ane natsu kansa sen pa menta ane de yago re sen de dukja re se samlu ngun pa chang chang zu jin en din di cha che ton pa jo kansa de twin re is din di song ta ane de nyomo wan ki me pa jo de pa zu ja wa ta ma she che pa jo ngun pe che so dobyo sa ma re is de dok ta de yak dok se dobyo sa ma re is
ane de de ken da ma re ne pe
So when we label somebody as a Buddha, and also we label somebody differently, there has to be something in the object to follow that label by.
Conventional
reality, isn't it?
So
when we label somebody as a Buddha, does Buddha exist? So things existing merely in labels, they're existing, and when we try to find the base or to try to single out one object that the label belongs to, and then we can't find that such an object. So when you look at my finger, can you find a particular object, a single object that is the whole finger? The top one or bottom one? Or the nail? So the nail itself is not the finger. So there has to be an object that we give a label to. So when we check the whether the finger is existing from this its own side without depending on other causes and conditions, then we can't find the finger itself. So that finger itself exists with label and the concept of finger. So that depends on the labeling. Any questions, please? You can ask in English.
Ah.
So Samruk says without the accumulation of good merits as a support to understand or realize the emptiness, even though we are intelligent, you know, with a sharp mind, do we have the capability to understand emptiness without backing of merits or accumulating merits? So wisdom that that disarms emptiness has to be associated with accumulation of merits. Without the backing of merits, and one wouldn't be able to understand it correctly.
So
I will talk about that tomorrow. The two types of accumulations in good karmas to understand emptiness. Without accumulation merits, one is not able to understand emptiness correctly.
Have you, you know, like with the non-virtues when you're talking about morality, one of the non-virtues is harsh words. Is there an antidote? Like when you're practicing and trying to practice and study Dharma, and you're tired and you have a good growl at your children, and you have those harsh words, and you realise in that instant what you've done, but you've already done it. And you wish to not do it again, but of course you get tired again another week later, and you growl at them again. What's the assistance and antidote? Because you're accumulating this bad karma and you're recognising that. But is there an antidote, or is there some way to assist to prevent those times when you lack that ability and clarity of mind to stop something like that with harsh words and so forth?
Then I know I'm going to get you a little bit of a tiktok say the moran control la yin da na ni bu de de ni la tiktok de ni la chou du se na la che de ga la cha ji la yo joba che du se joba che ta te me ji go sa na yin yan jo so so tang lo chi yin da la ni de chen ba ji chi ni yan jo te ni ji go wa te ni cha du se de ni song ta ni de ka se de ma yo ya ke ni nyen bo te ni ka ren la ten go le se ta
chi chi ge ni mo 님이도 가장 공부 상태로 있나? 제대로 된 대인제로 듣죠. 너무 이제 세월로.
The seeing the to reduce that type of action is to see the destructive nature in the consequences of that very action.
시우세샤기 아니 저장 같은 거 상고도 연결 안에 되게 되게 좀 맞지 디셰와 심한데 잠시 놓을까 제와 동부대 제와 동부대 단 좀 나자 행동 제와 동부대 그 상고도 되게 연결하고 돼 있는 거리 조지 시기 시기 냐이 시원해 대응하게 맞네
So the consequences of one person who said bad things about bodhisattvas was born in the ocean with many different heads and followed by 500 subsequent lives of that very negative action.
Tim Marum, but the Magawatin, Moboko, and Kogi, and they said, Kogi, and Chongi, Chogi, Michel, and Nanarina, Titi, Marin Jibber, they knew Titi with that, Tim Marum, but Magawa, when you come and eat Timo, what did the Pacodi?
And also, the consequences of harsh words is in next life, one has to endure with harsh words with from others. Or have to listen to others' harsh words.
Jagawe ni ma dungje, mo chi senpa chuni shibu me je. Senpa shibu me, tabor chi shibu shiye na chi, tabor chi lo di, tabor di ni mo shi nata chanda shiye jo yata. Tadika duk chanda.
Kari masa shiye jata?
Mo shi chanda chi shiye jo, chi duk chanda chanda mo shi, chanda tabor di ni, di ni kari tabor di ni, ya chi shiye jo. Tipa, ta, chibi shi ta, sanje yabu chiye jo, sanje di no, turu nye na chanda shiye diko. Ta, kurangi, ubi, jiwa, pūpū dhīla nē tu jīk chīnta, nē tu dhūr tu dhī tāngi shīk, yā, tī mō tī kōrī, bā kāsā, dhī mō kī nīngi shīsār, tē tō tī nī yungi yatār, tī tī kī dhīva, dhū yorī.
There's a story about an old lady in India who was extremely unhappy. So one day, he bought a newspaper and read all the negative things that happened. And then he switched on the TV and all the bad things happening there as well. And when her son came home, he had bad experiences to share with her. So all those experiences so overwhelming for her, and she died of a heart attack that night. So the negative consequences of destructive emotions are enormous. So then it's wise to practice the antidotes towards those negative emotions.
Mother consider really reprimanding the child as a harsh word.
Sorry,
I don't consider reprimanding a child is a harsh word.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would believe that getting out would have been would have been told very sternly by his
Do this and that.
Yeah, so not. I don't think you wouldn't consider reprimanding a child as a divisive and harsh word, but it can be modified by after they behave by counteracting that by kindness and love.
Murangi tewe ni pūla ane karsa te chinda majit la chana te stopo chaya te tsikso kona rohuri tene te yume dosa karsa nta pūde labu yoras chambu chesha nte se geshi la chunchokana tene langwende de choyo jasme kinte majit te chesha.